الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: جددوا إيمانكم. قيل: يا رسول الله، وكيف نجدد إيماننا؟ قال: أكثروا من قول لا إله إلا الله، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
With respect to Allah's brothers, let us take the example of a farmer. This farmer, he has a herd of a very high quality of horses. This breed is such a breed that if he nurtures those foals, those horses, in the right manner, treats it in the right way, gives it the right feed and nutrition, then this herd can bring him a fortune. For each animal, he can get hundreds of thousands of rand. So if this farmer, he does as he ought to do, what he is supposed to do, then he will see the benefit of his actions. But if this farmer, despite understanding the value of his breed, of his horses, lets it graze in the wild, doesn't give it the true and right nutrition, then we'll say this person, he is a foolish man. He understood the value of his items, but he didn't value it. Thus we will see, when the time comes for him to sell his animals, he won't gain the true results. My respect, eyes and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed most of us sitting here with this. But the question is, what is our herd? What is our flock? What is our responsibility? Our responsibility and our herd is our family. More especially our children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Every one of you is a shepherd and will be questioned in the court of Allah regarding his flock. If us as the men, despite understanding our responsibility that the children have over us, understanding that the value the children have in our lives, despite understanding this, we do not give them the right values and Islamic teachings, will be taken in the court of Allah, taken to task. And like how that shepherd will be regarded to be a foolish person and a foolish man, in a similar manner we will also be regarded to be foolish. My respected elders and brothers, in this time of fitna, when the things around us are attracting us towards everything besides Allah, it's our responsibility as parents to take the responsibility of our children to heart. Not long ago, last year December, when a lot of families were going for Umrah, grandfather is taking his grandchildren for Umrah. Enters Makkah Mukarramah, explaining to the grandchildren the importance of this action of Umrah, explaining to them the importance and sacredness of the Kaaba Sharif, enters into the Haram Sharif. And then he comes towards the Kaaba Sharif, explains to the children that when you look at the Kaaba for the first time, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your du'as are answered at this time. When the grandchildren see the Kaaba, the question that they ask the grandfather, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Grandfather gets a shock. Ask him, what you mean, where is Jesus? So they explain that in school we heard Jesus is the Son of God. If this is the house of Allah, if this is the house of God, where is Jesus? This is what's happening around us. Everything is taking us away from Allah. Last year, December, father is taking his son for Umrah, his family for Umrah. Come to Dubai, about to board the next flight to Jeddah or to Medina Sharif. So father tells the son, tie your ihram, because we are about to board the flight. The son says, I'll do it now. Few moments later, father reminds him that we are about to board, please tie your ihram. Then at the third time, the father sees that he's not tying the ihram, he gets cross, he gets upset. Then how much must I tell you, tie your ihram, we need to go. So the son turns around and looks at father, why must I tie ihram when I'm no more a Muslim? My respected elders and brothers, Allah protect us, Allah protect us, protect our progeny and families. It can happen to us. If we don't take responsibility for our children, it can happen in our own homes. We come from Isipingo. Few areas very close to Isipingo. Jamaat was going to the houses on a Wednesday. Go to the house of a father, of a Muslim home, a home that is regarded to have Muslim men. Knocks on the door, the grandfather opens the door. Assalamu alaikum, begins speaking to him. So the brothers ask, we remember your grandson was staying with you? So he said, gee, he's still here. So can you call him? So grandfather puts his hand down. He's no more Muslim. He's no more Muslim. So the kuffar and disbelievers at this point of time, not only attacking the other ahkam and commands of deen, they're attacking directly our iman. Especially the new generation. My respect, brothers and brothers, our responsibility for us to take stock of our life. And see what are we doing for our children. For the deeni security of our children. So there are a few important things that we need to keep in mind. Number one, take care regarding the iman of your children. As a father, come home after work, come home after your madrasa, come home after whatever work you're doing, sit with your children. Speak to them, ask them that today what you learned in school, what you heard in school, what you learned in madrasa. Speak to them, ask them. You will be surprised sometimes the thoughts that are lingering in the minds of the children regarding the imaniyat, the basic aqaid and beliefs. Ask them, speak to them. We see in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught iman practically to the sahaba, especially the young sahaba. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he's sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving him the teachings of iman. Wa idha sa'alta fas'alillah wa idha ista'anta fasta'in billah. If you ask from anyone, ask from Allah. If you seek help from Allah. Teaching basic iman to the child. And Rasulullah goes on to explain to him that, oh my beloved cousin, if the entire world gathers to harm you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't wish harm to you, no person can harm you. And if the entire world desires to benefit you, and Allah desires harm for you, no one can save you from that. Teaching iman to the child. So we as parents teach iman to our children. Speak to them about the greatness of Allah. Speak to them about the qudrat of Allah. So that the recognition of Allah enters the heart of our children. MashaAllah, the madrasa is doing the job. They are trying to the best of their ability to give that child that Islamic knowledge, that Islamic ta'lim and beliefs. But it's not the only responsibility of the madrasa. It's my and your responsibility. It's our children. The madrasa has a very limited time. 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. How many children in a class? 12, 13, 15 children. How much time can the star to give to each and every child? Limited. It has its benefits. We should send our children to the maktab, definitely. To the madrasa, most certainly. But we as parents speak to our children about imaniyat. Explain to them the qudrat of Allah, so they can recognize Allah. In this world, things we can see around us is affecting the heart. Our iman is upon ghaib, upon the unseen. So speak to the children about the unseen, so that the reality of it enters in the heart. إِذَا تَكَرَّرَ لِسَانٌ تَقَرَّرَ فِي الْقَلْبِ. When it's repeated on the tongue, slowly but surely it will take its place in the heart. So the first responsibility is look after the imaniyat of our children, the basic beliefs of our children. Second, give them deen knowledge. Ta'aleem at home. Teaching the children basic Islamic knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was married to Umma Salamah radiyallahu anha, one of the Mubarak wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She came into the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a child. So this child is one day eating before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching the etiquette of eating to the child. Ya bunayya, title of respect, title of love. My respect to elders and brothers, how much more we're going to shout our children for everything? During the day we are busy at work, tired at work, come home, all the frustration take it out of the children. See the Nabi of Allah, what love. Ya bunayya, oh my beloved child, oh my beloved son. How much did any of us take out the time to express love to the child? We come from the Darul Uloom. This year after Ramadan, when our madrasa reopened, a youngster comes to the madrasa. One of ustads gives salam to the youngster and gives the youngster a hug. The youngster starts crying. So ustad is shocked. I just make salam and I give a hug to the child. He's crying. So ustad asks the child, what's the problem? He said, oh my ustad, oh Mulana, I can't remember when last I got a hug like this. Love the children. Show them mahabbat. They want this. They see. Children see. Out of the house, we're smiling with everyone, joking with everyone, laughing with everyone. When we come home, we're like lions. Show love to the child. Mahabbat, express your love. Tell the child, you are my beloved. You are the coolest of my eyes. Explain to the child how much of importance he has in your life. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another incident regarding loving the children. One day, this last Ramadan, a child comes to one of the ustads in the madrasa. This is my plan for the holidays. I'm going in jamaat, then I'm sitting in itikaf, then after that I'm going to so and so place. So the ustad asked the child, that in your whole equation, I don't see you talking about going home. You didn't explain that you're going home to meet your parents for Eid. Everything else you spoke out, but going home you didn't speak out. The child starts tearing. Child meaning he's 17, 18 years old, he's not older. He's crying. So Ustad asks him what happened. He says he shows his knuckles to the Ustad. Ustad sees it's quite badly hurt. Ask him what happened. He said, when I come home, the only thing I see at home is fighting. Parents are fighting. Out of frustration, I go to the wall and I start punching the wall. I can't get involved in the fight, because if I get involved, it gets worse. So I can't do anything. The only thing I do is take out my frustration by hitting the wall. I am tired of being home. I don't want to go home anymore. When I go home, all you see fights. My respect to Alice and brothers, this is what the child in a dark room studying Alan class is expressing what's happening at home. Show love to the children. And that house or that home in which there is fight, no child that in my small life that I have seen, every single child came out from that home, he is definitely and most certainly affected mentally. We see it in the Darul Uloom. Every child that came from a broken home or in home there is problems, that child is having difficulty in madrasa. To such an extent, some of the children can't even concentrate. You see them in class, they're daydreaming, thinking. You call them aside, ask them, what's happening? You'll be shocked to hear stories that they express you. To show love at home. Show muhabbat at home. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling this child, the son of Umm Salamah radiallahu anha, That Ya Bunya, O my beloved child, Sammillah, take the name of Allah. Wakul bi yaminik, eat with the right hand. Wakul bi mayalik, eat what is in front of you. Teaching the child, ta'leem at home. One is the formal ta'leem of taking the fa'il amal, fa'il sadaqat, the sirat, sirat the Mustafa, and you're doing that with the child. That is also important. That's very important. But besides that, teaching Islamic morals and etiquette to the child. This ta'leem at home will have a very great impact in the upbringing of the child. A school teacher asks the children at school, what do you want to become in your future? So small children, one person says he'll be a doctor, one says engineer, one says a dentist, one says this, one says that. Many different things. So one child says, I want to be a Sahabi. So teacher was a non-Muslim. First time she heard the term, a Sahabi. So she asked the child, Sahabi, what that means? So the child was small, he couldn't explain properly. So then the child told the teacher, but my mother can explain to you. So she said, okay. So the mother wrote a letter to the teacher that come home and I'll explain to you who is a Sahabi. This teacher, non-Muslim teacher, she comes to the home. The mother prepares some tea. And then explains to her what's a Sahabi, the companions of Rasulullah. This teacher was so affected, by just this explanation of who is a Sahabi and how this child wants to be like these people, she became a Muslim. Ta'aleem at home. Ta'aleem at home. We might think that ta'aleem at home is a simple action. Half of us, when we bring the ta'aleem, we're sleeping away. The family reads and we sleep away. But this ta'aleem is a very great part of our life, especially in molding the mindset of the child, in teaching this child how to think, how to conduct, how to behave. So this is the second thing, ta'aleem at home. Ta'aleem of the kitabs of fazali amal, fazali sadaqat, sirat, behesti ziyawar, or basic masail, that we have to do. But with that, teaching etiquette to the children. And then another important part in the upbringing of a children is teaching the child truthfulness. Teaching the child to be truthful. In this day and time, for a child to say, Wallahi, becomes very easy. Wallahi, I didn't do this. Qasam, I didn't do that. Teach the child truthfulness. But in that way, you have to be truthful to the child. You can't promise the child something and later on go against your promise. Because then the child will learn from you. That you are telling the child to be truthful, but you're going against your promises. So teach the child truthfulness. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi alayh, he was leaving his home as a young child to go to Baghdad to learn ilm, to become a sheikh, to become an alim. So his mother instilled within him the quality of speaking the truth. And she took a promise from him that, oh my child, give me this promise that you will never ever speak a lie. So he promised him, his mother. So one day they were during the journey, they were traveling, then a group of robbers came to loot the caravan. So they came to Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, who was a young person at that time, and told him that, oh young boy, do you have anything? So he says, yes, I have 40 dinars, 40 gold coins. So he asked him, okay, where is it? He said, my mother sold it to my vest, under my arm. So the one robber that came past, he said, this youngster, something not right with him. He got 40 gold coins and he's telling me he got 40 gold coins. Who in the right sense will tell me that? So he left him. The second robber came by and asked him the same question. He got the same reply. So he was really confused. So they took him to the leader. The leader asked the same question and got the same reply. So the leader of the robbers asked him, "Did oh young boy, you have 40 gold coins, such a huge amount of money, but you speak the truth regarding it?" So he explains to the leader that I gave this promise to my mother that I would never speak a lie. So in compliance with the promise of my mother, I've spoken the truth. So the leader at that time, he says, you such a young boy cannot break the promise of a mother. Me as a Muslim, as an adult, and I'm breaking the promises of Allah, there and there he made tawbah. There and there he made tawbah. A young boy who is truthful became the means of the hidayat of one person. When the leader changed his life, his whole group also changed their life. So my respected elders and brothers, this youngsters that we have, or our children that we have, is our responsibility. Take it to heart. Take this responsibility to heart. And then as we see in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when the child grows up, and when you left this world, and you put an investment in the heart of the child, the investment of iman, this investment of deeni knowledge, this investment of deeni ta'aleem and morals and etiquettes and adab, then we see the child when the child grows up. You left this world, and then you will see the investment, your investment will continue. Where the child will continue making dua for you. The child will continue doing good actions and sending the thawab to you. My respected elders and brothers, if we do not take out time for our children, if we do not take out time for our children to teach them deen, mashallah, we're teaching them dunya, we're sending them to universities, we're sending them to schools, giving them the best of knowledges, putting them in the best of businesses, mashallah, very good, no problem. But teach them deen, because the time will come when your child, when you pass away, the child will come for the janaza and the child won't even know how to read Yasin for you. When you need the child the most, when you left this world and your amal end, and that time you need investments to accrue benefit for you, at that time you will have nothing. That's why Rasulullah says, when a person passes away, in qata'a amaluhu, all his amal end, except for that amal which continues after he passes away. Three of them. One of those amal is waladun salih, a pious child, yad'u li walidihi, who makes dua for his father. My respected elders and brothers, there are many incidents of where a child comes to the alim and says, my father has passed away, I cannot read Yasin for him, can you come to the qabr to read Yasin for my father? There are many incidents like this. Basic etiquettes of deen, basic deeni knowledge, my respected elders and brothers, we see is no more in the eyes of the children. Take out that time, sit with the children, explain to the children the importance of iman, the importance of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My respected elders and brothers, in this time and age, every other lifestyle is becoming beloved to the youngsters besides the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become a joke, an old way, an old style. Teach the children the importance of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah, what barakah and blessings you'll get in your life. Imagine a person, if explain this type of incident to the child, a person from Madinah Sharif, he owns a jewelry shop, he hears the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he tells his children that Rasulullah said, when a person is doing a business, he should give extra, zin warjah, when you weigh an item, weigh and give a little bit extra. So he tells his children that when you weigh the gold, give a few grams extra. So the child tells him, oh, our father, we're not dealing in potatoes, we're dealing in gold. Every gram counts. Every gram counts. We cannot give extra. He said, oh, this is my command. This is my command. Zin warjah. Rasulullah said, and this is barakah in that. Weigh and give extra. The ulama who explained this incident to us said, through the barakah of this person following this sunnah of Rasulullah, Allah blessed him with such barakah that all the shops close to the haram belong to him. Our mind will teach us, you're giving extra, you're losing. But in the sunnah of Rasulullah, the barakah. A Pakistani doctor made a research following the sunnah of Rasulullah. He explained in his research that he sees in the Western countries as many mental hospitals. So he found that when he checked in Pakistan and those countries, that he doesn't see that amount of mental cases. But in the Western countries, we're seeing many mental cases. So he went to research and research, and after many months of research, he came to this conclusion that we as Muslims, when we perform wudu, we make masah of our naib. We make masah of our naib. We pass our wet hands over our naib. So when we do this here, this sends a very calming effect and message to the mind to relax. And when you see non-Muslims, they don't make this year. Because of that, this could be a cause. This could be one cause. That because of this year, they're losing their minds. So following the sunnah of Rasulullah, my respect to Allah and brothers, we end with offer this year. The greatest muhsin, the greatest benefactor to me and you is Rasulullah. The amount of qurbani and sacrifice he made for us. Open the seerah and look with the eye of iman. Open the seerah of Rasulullah and see what qurbani he made for us. What sacrifice and what dua he made for us. Then you'll understand the rights of Rasulullah over us. just to fulfill one right of Rasulullah sallam is to recite durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallam. Take your time on a Friday especially and recite 1,000 durood upon Rasulullah sallam. It's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallam. That person who recites 1,000 durood upon Rasulullah sallam on a Friday, Thursday night and Friday, he won't pass away until he will see his abode in Jannah. By us reciting durood upon Rasulullah sallam, we not only benefit Rasulullah sallam, but actually in fact we're benefiting ourselves, because we guaranteeing our place in Jannah. It's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallam, man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra. That person who recites one durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallam, Allah will bless him with 10 mercies. One durood, 10 mercies. It mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallam, in exchange of that one durood, 10 of his stages are elevated in Jannah. In another hadith of Rasulullah sallam, because of that one durood, 10 of his sins are forgiven. So my respected Allahs and brothers, the ulama explain, daily we should try to recite 300 times durood upon Rasulullah sallam, daily. And on a Friday, a minimum of 1,000 durood upon Rasulullah sallam. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a true understanding, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the fiqh to create this investment of the akhirah, the investment in our children, which will benefit us not only in this dunya, also when we leave this world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.